The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
So it's all set. Bucks will face the Green Bay Packers. Final kneel down of the game. Don't need to snap the ball again. Tampa Bay Buccaneers 30, New Orleans Saints 20. Tom Brady's the man. The Bucks are the team. And we have defeated the New Orleans Saints, our nemesis, over the last 3 or 4 years.
That was Tom Brady advancing to the NFC Championship game. And I got to tell you something. He defied the Cliff prediction by a lot. I got on First Take in 2016 in July, and I said he's going to fall off a cliff. I gave him a year and a half. In other words, like the rest of that season and the following season. And then I thought the season after that, he could still be useful, even to a championship team, but he clearly would no longer be elite. And he defied that prediction by a year because he was that, but the following year, which was last year, not this past season, the previous season, last season in New England, wasn't great. And they lost first game of the playoffs. And they didn't have a bye in the first round, lost first game of the playoffs, lost last game of the season against Miami, a game they had to win. And Brady was missing receivers every way you could. But there weren't a lot there in terms of receivers that he was throwing to. And he put himself in a great position in Tampa, and he left the cupboard bare for Belichick. So all that's true, and yet what you do with those weapons, just because you're in a great position don't mean you're going to win. I thought an average NFL starter would win 9 games with this Tampa Bay Bucs team. An average starter, a middle-of-the-pack starting quarterback's a good player. You'd win 9 games. I gave Brady a premium over that because of his decision-making. The thing that Brady has a premium, maybe against everyone who ever lived, it's he and Montana, really. The decisions he makes under pressure are the best of all time. He processes information more quickly, and he's not the most accurate passer ever. He doesn't have the biggest arm ever. He's an accurate passer. He has a strong arm throughout his career, less so now than he did in his prime. But the number one attribute a quarterback can have, I think, I have a leadership and all that stuff, toughness, but is decision-making. How fast do you process information, and how fast do you make a good decision? Brady makes great decisions constantly and rarely makes bad ones. So I figured 10 games. And the over-under was 9.5. He won 11. So then I figured, okay, 11 games is more than I thought he would win. But if he win, and I expect him to win a playoff game, especially against the lowly Washington franchise. Anything more than that is gravy. For example, if he were to beat New Orleans, to get to the NFC Championship game. If he were to beat New Orleans after spending 20 years in the AFC East, never, not once, having to face a truly great quarterback in his own division. I don't mean an ancient Brett Favre. I don't mean a nice quarterback in a Chad Pennington for a couple of years. There was never a rival in the AFC East, so of course he makes the playoffs every year and advances and everything with home field and all that. All Brady had to do with Belichick and no other good quarterback in the division for 20 years was win a single playoff game at home. Can you win a single home playoff game? Because if you do, you're going to the AFC Championship game. But what would happen when Brady faced a great quarterback in his own division on a great team? We just saw it. A team he lost to twice. The second time worse than the first. Did he get a little lucky? Well, sure, the defense made plays for him that Drew Brees' defense didn't make quite. Of course, Godwin dropped a touchdown. Brady overthrew him by a little bit, but that's a hell of a throw. Godwin usually makes that catch. It would be a really good catch, but he's a really good receiver. Drops it. Yeah, sure. Did his defense get opportunistic and give him a short field twice? Sure. But Brady both times scored touchdowns. They didn't kick field goals. They scored touchdowns. And heading into the fourth quarter, I tweeted it out. Drew Brees has won one Super Bowl. Brady's won 6 because Brady, in these situations, rarely screws it up. By the way, there's a stat on ESPN Plus right now. You can see it on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Plus. Most conference championship starts since 1970, quarterbacks. Joe Montana's in second place with 7. Montana was the previous GOAT, let's face it. Brady has 13 now. But the reason this season was, to me, judged ultimately a total success if he makes the championship game, is that's what Montana did. Well, Bill Walsh is the reason Montana, he's really a system quarterback, and Marino's better. J- Just like, well, Tom Brady has Bill Belichick. Really, Peyton Manning's better, right? What would happen if he didn't have Belichick? I thought that. He'd still be really good, but would he be Tom Brady? Well, Joe Montana, at the end of his career, went to Kansas City, took him to the AFC Championship game. No Bill Walsh. Tom Brady, at the end of his career, goes to Tampa Bay. First season with the team, they're in the NFC Championship game. First season. But I tweeted it out going into that fourth quarter. It's a tie game. However they got there, and by the way, yes, the Saints are a little snake, but I get it. But however they got there, they got there. Drew Brees, Brady's got six, you got one. You've had stability most of your career, all of your prime, in your significant portion of your career in New Orleans with Sean Payton, a great coach. In recent years, you had a great defense, a very good one at least, and a very well-balanced team. And this year, you not only have a lead receiver in Michael Thomas, you got a number two in Emmanuel Sanders. You got Alvin Kamara. It's true, the Bucs' offensive line did a great job keeping the pocket clean for Brady. Great job. But Drew Brees, you got to be better than Tom Brady for one quarter of your life. And then you could maybe get to two Super Bowls. Now, you might have to then beat Aaron Rodgers and then Patrick Mahomes, and your team would be the underdog. And the reason they be the underdog, I hate being this guy today because I'm a big Drew Brees fan. By the way, if you've ever met Drew Brees, I met him a couple times, talked to him a little bit, you know, on TV shows. And he is just a very likable guy. As soon as he walks in the room, you could see how he's a leader, how he's a guy people want to play hard for and with. And he's the most accurate passer of all time. I really root for Drew Brees. But guys, he amassed all those records playing in a dome for a great coach and the same coach. And he was never considered the best quarterback in the league or even really the second best. You know, out of kind of, to be conscientious, you would mention him to do the right thing. When you talked about the elite quarterbacks, you'd say first, you know, Peyton Manning and Tom Brady and Drew Brees would round it out, right? Manning and Brady and Rodgers and Brees. And then Manning's gone and now Patrick Mahomes is there and Brees at the end, right? But he never won an MVP and he was never the best guy. And he put up all those passing numbers in a dome where he was always better than on the road. Can you be better than Tom Brady for one quarter of your life? The answer was no. Because you knew one thing. Brady wasn't going to screw it up. He threw over 500 yards when they lost the Super Bowl to the Eagles. It wasn't that Brady screwed anything up. The other team was just better. Brady wasn't bad against the Giants in either Super Bowl loss. Eli was just a little better. But one thing Brady wasn't going to do is look, no one's perfect. When he played the Chiefs, Brady threw an interception to end the game. But a pre-snap penalty called it back. He got a little lucky. I don't think he knew it was a free play. He got lucky. But much more often than not, Tom Brady either comes through or doesn't get in his own way. What would Drew Brees do? Could he be better than that? The answer was no, he couldn't. He played poorly. And let's face it, guys, I know through a lot of his prime, the organization didn't give him a good enough defense. But over the last 3-4 years, he's had a good enough defense. And he hasn't been good enough. And it's one thing, Ryan Clark on the Goodyear hotline. By the way, that was Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Ryan, it's one thing to not be good enough and also not have a team around you. Drew Brees had everything you could ask for: a defense, an O-line, a running game, a running back who could catch passes out of the backfield, a number one receiver, a number two receiver, a home field, a team he'd beaten twice. Ryan, it kills me to say it, he couldn't get it done.
No, this one was on him. And we knew that early on in the year, though, Max. When you looked at this team and the way that they were built, you knew that if or when they ended up losing in the playoffs, it would be because Drew Brees couldn't do it. And Todd Bowles understood that, because you can see by the way they adjusted defensively, they were daring Drew Brees to push the ball down the football field, and he just didn't have it in him anymore.
Well, I want you to listen to this. Here's Drew Brees. He was asked, you can hear the question in the – just listen to this, Ryan.
Yeah, hey, Drew, I hate to start with this, but is this your last game?
Well, I'll answer this question one time, and that is that I'm going to give myself an opportunity to think about the season, think about a lot of things, just like I did last year, and make a decision.
Ryan, even if he decided to keep playing, should the Saints want him back? I don't think you can win a Super Bowl with him right now.
I don't think they should. You're absolutely right, Max. I don't think they should. But that doesn't mean the emotional equity he's deposited or he's gained wouldn't let them or allow them to bring him back. And, you know, when Drew Brees, you know, was at his prime, I heard you before I came on, they didn't have a defense good enough. They were 7-9 years. There were years of mediocrity when he was passing for 5,000 yards. But right now, this team has what they need. They're great defensively. We have weapons on the outside and one of the best backs in football. And so, you know, I think the thing for him, you don't want to retire at that point. You don't want to do it emotionally. You don't want to do it at that moment where people will talk about what that game was like. Give yourself and the world time to move past this last outing. And then that way, when you make the decision, it's not emotional and you can be cherished or you can be talked about or praised in the way that you deserve.
Listen, when I was a kid, I saw quarterbacks I'd take over Drew Brees. I mean, I thought were better in their era than he was in his. Joe Montana, Dan Marino, John Elway, let's say. I think, and you could argue Jim Kelly. I mean, like, whatever. I think that's pretty close, actually. Kelly gets slept on a little now. But and then as time went on, I think Brett Favre will be remembered as greater. Obviously, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers. Like, there are a bunch of guys, Ryan. And now here comes Patrick Mahomes and a whole new crop of guys. I think, actually, last night's game was huge in terms of Brees' legacy. I don't think he will be remembered as a top 10 quarterback. He's a great. He's an all-time great. He's in the Hall of Fame. I don't think he's going to be remembered top 10. And I think it comes down to yesterday. Had he come through with a win and they stayed alive, it makes him look better. But, he lost. And I think it's going to affect him.
Well, I don't necessarily know if it would affect him. I don't know if you remember this, Max, but I think it was the touchdown record. You, I, Stephen A., we were all on, and we were talking about Drew Brees. And I took a hell of a lot of flack for not putting him in my top five.
Mm-hmm.
And
top
then
five?
You and I were kind of discussing, and we were like, I don't really think he's in the top 10. Now, right. Obviously, I took more because I live here, right? And I'm from New Orleans. And so it was a huge deal here. But there are a ton of quarterbacks I think you take before Drew Brees. Because the reason Drew Brees is in the conversation is accumulation of stats, right?
Yep.
When you look at his actual measurables, his talent, his skill level, he has one elite skill. That elite skill is accuracy. And the rest of the things were work. They were the time he put in, which all goes to how great of a player he made himself into. But when we're talking about base level skill and then also accomplishments on the field and team, there's a ton of people you take before Drew. And that's no indictment on him. He's still a first ballot Hall of Famer, but he has never, and you may disagree, so I'm going to say it for myself, he's never been the best quarterback in football in his era, and he's never even been the best quarterback in football for a year. And that guy can't be in my top five.
It's not like baseball. Like Hank Aaron set the all-time home run record. He was never the best in the game, but he was always a top guy hitting 40-plus home runs every year. But it's different. As a quarterback, you are measured in championships. Meantime, Patrick Mahomes, who Ryan Clark, I feel, is the best I've ever seen. Apologies to Aaron Rodgers. I think he edges him out. Is hurt, and we don't know what the near future will hold. What do you think that does to the Chiefs' chances of winning the Super Bowl this year?
It hurts their chances. I think it hurts them tremendously. I mean, it's one thing to have a lead, allow Chad Henne to come into the game and finish that game. It's another thing to have a team prepare to play Chad Henne and understand now the deficiencies you have because you don't have Patrick Mahomes. And you're not facing just any old quarterback. The dude on the other side can do it. Josh Allen can really play football. Josh Allen is going to be a top three MVP finisher, and they have a wide receiver who's playing with more confidence than anybody in the NFL with a defense that is improving. And this is just my opinion. If Chad Henne starts this game, the Buffalo Bills will be playing the winner of the NFC Championship in the Super Bowl.
I agree with that. I mean, Mahomes has to start, but I'll take an 80% Mahomes over everyone, including Josh Allen. The only one I wouldn't take an 80% Mahomes would be Aaron Rodgers, who's very close to Mahomes. Those are the two best I've ever seen. Speaking of which, the best ever before Mahomes, Rodgers, is taking on the greatest ever, Tom Brady. And what occurs to me, Ryan, is the reason Brady is the GOAT, the number one reason, if you had to point to one thing, he makes better decisions than the other guy. He, like, rarely beats himself. And he does not have Aaron Rodgers' talent. But as great as Rodgers is diagnosing plays and all that stuff, there's no one ever been better than Brady. Like, Joe Montana and Brady, to me, are the two in that respect. What chance do you give Brady, whose defense is playing well, whose offensive line is playing well, and again, who ain't going to beat himself? That Tampa team shellacked a white-hot Packers team earlier in the year at Tampa. What chance do you give the GOAT to beat the boat, to beat the best ever, at least before Mahomes, at Lambeau?
This game is 51-49 to me. Honestly, I think the Green Bay Packers have the slight edge. But when you were looking at NFC quarterbacks, we kept speaking about going to Lambeau and what that's going to be like. That's not going to be cold to Tom Brady. Tom Brady's not tripping on that. Tom Brady's won games in that. And you have a defense that is playing its top ball of the year. But you have a player in Devin White, to me, that looked like he was on a mission. Oof. Against the New Orleans Saints. And even after the game, you could see he still had that type of fire. And, you know, now you match him up with the Aaron Joneses of the world. And then you look outside, they can match up. I mean, Devontae's just better than everybody right now. But they were able to match up with Carlton Davis when he was coming off of injury. So I'm looking for this game. I think it's going to be a very close game. And like you said, you probably have two of the best decision makers of our time, or maybe in the history of football. Because the guy that wears 12 for Green Bay, he doesn't make bad decisions either. He doesn't turn the ball over a ton either. And so this is going to be a game. I think that's a legacy game for both of them. Does this in any way change the way we see Tom Brady if he loses? Probably not. But it definitely changes the way we see him, or elevates the way we see him if he wins. And I think the same thing for Aaron Rodgers. If Aaron Rodgers wins this game, I believe it puts him in a stratosphere different from what he was in. It puts him in a stratosphere where I think we'll begin to talk about if he's greater than Peyton Manning. I think we'll start having that conversation of moving Aaron Rodgers into the top three of greatest of all time, just because the skill level has always been so high, and to play this well late in his career is truly amazing.
It is. I think he might already be top three, but you're right. This year, especially if he goes through Drew Brees, who are we talking about? Aaron Rodgers, especially if he goes through Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes. Whoa. So meantime, Lamar Jackson, and you and I were on TV today debating with Stephen A. Smith about how it's not just Lamar's fault. He's not prime, you know, you can't pin this loss on Lamar. He didn't elevate his team to the extent where they overcame stuff because of him. They didn't win because of him, obviously. They lost. But I can't say they lost because of Lamar. The offensive line said the crowd noise was getting to them. They couldn't hear cadence. The center couldn't snap the ball. As I said on earlier today, when, you know, the remains of Dez Bryant are trotted out there to try to get something going, you know you need a playmaker. The play calling is predictable, as you mentioned. And yet all that kind of stuff, Ryan, the bottom line is Lamar Jackson, I think, still does bear, you know, we both acknowledge he bears responsibility, but he still has to show something. He won a playoff game. That's great. He didn't choke. But now he needs to get better, go through reads quicker, get that ball out to backs and receivers when the deep ball isn't there and the run isn't there. What does Lamar Jackson have to prove to you still?
He has to prove that there's some growth mentally in the pass game. You know, so I think so many times we focus on the accuracy, we focus on the velocity, that we don't really think about what happens to the mental game. You know, watching Josh Allen now go through progressions and come back to third receivers, and then you get to see the arm strength. Or as we've seen Russell Wilson grow and become a quarterback who was carried by a team to being a perennial Pro Bowler. I think that's the things we need to see with Lamar, because the talent is there, but that also comes with the sophistication of the pass offense. So which one is it? Is it that Lamar can't understand it enough that they don't want to add some creativity to the game, or is the creativity not allowing Lamar to progress? And that's the answer that the Baltimore Ravens are going to have to figure out if we think Lamar is, you know, who we believe that he can be.
All right. Ryan Clark, always appreciate you when you come on, brother. Joined us on the Goodyear Hotline, of course. I got two words for you guys. Well, three. You want to fix Lamar Jackson for next year? Odell Beckham Jr. Ryan Clark joined us on the Goodyear Hotline, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. By the way, L.A., did you hear what McVay said about the quarterback position? The Rams quarterback? Did you hear what McVay said?
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Got Chuck D coming up in a little bit. Martin Luther King Day, MLK Day. I want to hear what Chuck has to say about it. Real Renaissance man, big baseball fan. Chuck D's like baseball historian. Not to mention, at one point in history, the number one thing in hip-hop. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, The Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. By the way, I was once J.A. Adonde, sports writer in L.A. and on ESPN for many years, once dragged me we were hanging out in New York. He drags me to a lecture at NYU, a bunch of academics up on a stage talking about the first time I heard Black Steel in the Hour of Chaos. Like I sat there for about 10 minutes and told Jay, hey, I got to go. I'm not sitting here for this. Anyway, but Chuck's got a lot of interesting things to say, and we're going to talk to him soon. And by the way, I told you that Sean McVay has certain, I'm sending certain signals that I'm not sure Jared Goff is long for the Rams. And Raj, I'm going to inform you of something right now you're not even aware of. I have landed an exclusive interview.
What?
With Sean McVay, Rams head coach, here on the Max Kellerman Show. Right now, you should be calling in a minute. Now, in order to do this, I had to agree to only ask him one question.
Okay?
One question. Yeah. He's very busy right now, but he's going to answer one question for me. Definitely not from a press conference recently. Mm-mm. This is live and exclusive on the Max Kellerman Show.
Okay.
Sean McVay answering a question. And what I'm going to ask him, because this is a quarterback in Jared Goff, obviously, who 2 years ago, he signed a $134 million extension. Right? So I want Sean McVay to come on and answer this one question. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to ask him, Raj, ahead of time. Then when he comes on, I'm going to ask it to him. I want to know if Goff is his quarterback. I want to know that. And he should be calling in any minute to answer this question. Remember, he's doing it because I agreed to only ask one question. So you can't get overly indulgent and try to fit an extra one in. The reason I can land these kind of interviews is because I will stick to my promise. One question from Sean McVay. Oh, Raj, apparently it's up on my screen. McVay just texted me. He told me he was going to... Here it is. Coach, first of all, welcome to the Max Kellerman Show. I know you are very busy, and I promise to keep my question brief. One question. I just need you to answer this right now, live and exclusive on the radio. Definitely not from a press conference yesterday or today. This is my one question, Coach. Thank you so much for joining me. Is Jared Goff your quarterback? Yes or no, Coach?
Yeah, he's a quarterback right now.
He's the quarterback right now? Coach, Raji hung up. See, when I said he's a quarterback right now, what does that mean? And you know what? He just texted me again. He's telling me, Max, you promised one question. He's right. Sorry, I'm Coach. You're right. In fairness, what? What's your problem, Raj?
No more questions. You don't have anything else to say to him? He wouldn't double up. You couldn't get two out of him?
No. See, this is where you make a mistake. I accidentally... Almost, because to be fair, he didn't exactly. I said, Coach, is he the quarterback? Yes or no? It's a yes or no answer. He said he's the quarterback right now. So I guess that's a yes, but I should have been more specific. What I should have said was, is he the quarterback, over the next year? Is he your starting quarterback next year? It's my mistake for not phrasing it correctly. And when I tried to follow up, he hung up because, after all, we had a deal. See, Raj, this is why I can land the big interviews, the big exclusives, because I stick to my word, more or less.
Yeah. Journalist 101 is the question. If you get one shot, you got to do it. But, hey, you got him on the show at least. No one else got him on the
That's
show
right.
all around
That's
the country.
Right.
You're the only one That's that right. got him on.
Definitely not from a press conference where everyone heard that sound, just on this show exclusively, live.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's get into it. Now we're going to do the post-analysis here of what that means. What he just told me. He's the quarterback now. He won't commit to Jared Goff. The organization, and by the way, if they didn't have McVay's blessing, you think they extend him for $134 million? Damn, that's what I should have asked him. Oh, next time I'll ask him. What I should have asked him was, Coach, obviously the organization's not giving him $134 million without your blessing, the extension, right? So is he going to be your quarterback next year? Or I could have asked him, what changed that you won't commit? Nevertheless, I guess what changed would be a follow-up. Raj, now after that exclusive and live interview, definitely not from a press conference, with Rams coach Sean McVay, I have yet another interview coming up. And this time I get to ask multiple questions. And it's with the great Chuck D of Public Enemy, of course.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
We don't have a lot of time with him, so I want to welcome in now a true icon. You hear about icon, legend, and it gets tossed around too much nowadays, but this is for real. The great Chuck D, ladies and gentlemen. Chuck, thanks a million for making a little time and coming on the show today. I know you got a plane to catch.
Yeah, what's up, Max? Yeah, I'm happy my Knicks won. Big up to my guys, Knicks Fans TV and KOT. So, yeah.
I've given up the Knicks.
Happy my Knicks won, man. Looking real good this year.
Until Dolan sells. Until Dolan sells, I'm done with the Knicks. You can't have Charles Oakley removed from Madison Square Garden and expect me to root for your team. Chuck, it is MLK Day. And I want to get you to weigh in on this. We see today especially politicians of an ideological bent that would have no problem getting support from white supremacists who helped foment an insurrection in our nation's capital, in the Capitol building itself, invoking the name of Dr. Martin Luther King as though they're on the same side of history as he was. Given that, the context, the day in which we live and our events of recent times, I would like to hear you tell me and tell the audience what MLK Day means to you in light of recent events.
MLK Day is fighting the power for by any means necessary. So I'm going to throw those two statements together. But also, you know, you talk about people like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., also Malcolm X, people actually that I would have on my stamps. You know, they had dignity and grace along with it. And they had a sense of collectiveness. And their sense of collectiveness was like, recognize us as part of the human family. You know, and we're going to try to demand that you recognize us as part of the human family so we all could be in this thing together. But until then, you know, we have to be reminding of the fact that our struggle is a situation that we all have to progress and go forward. You know, I mean, the struggle, you know, without the struggle is, you know, there's no progress. But it doesn't mean that the struggle just gets thrown on you on some general principle. Nah. So since that struggle is there, you know, we struggle and strive to, you know, to do our best and, you know, carry ourselves with grace at it. And the evidence of us, you know, having a protest or fighting the power, so to speak, has been done with grace and dignity. I was part of the Million Man March in 1995. You know, Minister Farrakhan had that organized that with all the black leaders. And we were on our best behavior that day in Washington, D.C. You know, brother didn't even take a piss on a tree that day. And so to see what happened a couple of weeks ago in the so-called insurrection, it makes one scratch their head. Oh, no, man, we're far from being equal, or at least equally considered. So we know there's always things to strive to make people understand that we're part of this human family, too, like anybody else, man.
Chuck, you mentioned a couple of things, interesting things. You brought up Farrakhan, who is a conspiracy theorist, among other things. And you brought up by any means necessary. And there's some sensitivity to that, particularly now, that those responsible for the insurrection would make a kind of moral parallel between that and between what they did and Malcolm X's call.
Yeah, but Max, it wasn't an educated parallel, so that was the problem. Mm-hmm. They didn't do enough research. They didn't educate themselves to understand what privilege they were already standing on anyway. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I might be biased, but, you know, that we view the hypocrisies. We take an educated, you know, look at things. And you use your logic, your wisdom, your understanding to protest and power forward. And that's what we mean by any means necessary, mm-hmm. you know, to think it out and then go forward collectively as best and civilized as possible. The best way sometimes to fight the law is to know the law, and you know the law to change the law. That's how you fight the law in the best way. We don't have the prison industrial complex that, at our behest that we can all of a sudden make something up and send somebody to jail we don't agree with. And also, I know as a black person, if I was to go to any jail, I know there ain't nobody black to get to, that could get me out. So well, we always follow the law. We always look at the law and follow the law and go at the law. So one thing, when you mention people like, you know, who, like even the Black Panthers, follow the law. Nation of Islam, follow the law. And we follow the law to look at the law, know the law, to eventually change the law and make it somewhat lean to the area of right and fair.
Talking to Chuck D. of Public Enemy, of course, here on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Of course, there's no moral equivalency, Chuck, and one group is protesting actual injustice and the other is reacting to disinformation and prejudice, of course. I just point out that there are those who say it's difficult to argue both that by any means necessary is okay, unless you carefully define really what any means necessary means and what it winds up and how that winds up being used by people with bad intentions. Chuck, you are an enormous sports fan as well. And I used to have interesting conversations with Jim Lampley, my broadcast partner on HBO on the fights. And we have 2 minutes left, unfortunately, right now. And he thought Obama would get elected. And I was skeptical that the country was going to elect a black man named Barack Hussein Obama. And he said, Max, he believed that the locker room throughout the last several decades or 4 or 5 decades had integrated before the rest of society and had led the way. And he believed that was actually part of the entire picture that would result in Obama's election, which in fact occurred. What do you think about sports' place in the social justice landscape? We have about a minute.
Sports is supposed to be fair, right? Right, Max? You're supposed to start like 0-0. You're supposed to start even and you go and play the game. And, you know, and at the end of the game, you say, okay, we won, we lost, but we'll come back another day to pick up on that. You know, sometimes you want the law to start out that way. It's all equal starting out at the beginning, how you proceed and propel in that particular society. If the laws are fair and people have a chance, then you feel that, okay, maybe this is a system that will work for a while. And it seems like, you know, you could get a system to work for 100, maybe 200 years if it's righteous. Then maybe that's a plan for the future. Maybe laws have to be adapted. Maybe systems have to be adapted, just like human beings evolve. So that's a good way of looking at it. The sports locker room is at least a way of looking at things and starting out there.
Meritocracy is what we're supposed to be. The great Chuck D of Public Enemy, ladies and gentlemen, at Mr. Chuck D. Chuck, I really appreciate you taking out a couple minutes. I know you're busy. You're about to jump on this flight. Safe travels, my friend, and I hope to hear from you again soon.
Thanks a lot, Max. Go Knicks!
Tom Brady, meantime, is back in the conference championship. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, coming right back.